We surely do thank the Lord for being in this meeting. It's been a real blessing to us. Appreciate the good messages and the anointed singing, the testimonies. I don't think you could go to a meeting like this with and hear what we've heard this morning without coming away saying the Lord is good. The Lord is truly good to us. I have a thought that the Lord's inspired me with. I desire your prayers. I'd like to go to Ezekiel, the 47th chapter, in the first verse. The vision Ezekiel had was being shown some things in the Spirit, and it says, "Afterwards he brought me again unto the door of the house." These were all things that were shown to him in the Spirit. It wasn't something that was really happening physically at the time. But it was a vision that he had, as I understand it. "Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could pass over." And that's where I'm going to stop. There were some things that the Lord told Ezekiel about that, about the house of Israel. But I want to look at it this morning and compare it to an experience with the Lord and what we can do with it and where we can stay and where we can go to in it and what the Lord wants and expects out of us. You know, when we get saved, the Lord has mercy, it says, to all who call upon Him. And He's willing to come and save us. And when we get saved, we're a baby. And when it's like that, there's a vast river of knowledge and understanding and joy and peace and an experience in the Lord. And when we first get saved, we just step in the edge of it, don't we? And we're right there. And the Lord has an experience for us there. But as we go along, He wants us to grow and to get deeper. He wants us to come to an age. I want to go to John 15 and verse 1. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." In the 8th verse it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." You know, I think about things that bring forth fruit. It's the way of nature that plants, animals, and people, they bring forth fruit after their kind, whatever kind they are, whatever their parentage was, that's what they are. And then whatever they are, that's the kind of fruit that they bring. We heard a message last night about seeds and what they do. And this is what happens in our own lives. Did you know we're all producing fruit? Did you know that we're all growing? And one thing to remember when we think of this is that only things that are of a maturity can bring forth fruit. Babies cannot bring forth kind after themselves. It is the job of adults and adult plants and adult animals to bring forth fruit after their kind. But Jesus said in this passage, I want my Father, this is how my Father is glorified, that you bring forth much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. We're all going to bring forth fruit. And so this is the encouragement or the exhortation I want to give us this morning, is what's growing in our garden? There's something growing, but what is it? I want to go to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, you know, in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, it's very evident that Paul was writing a letter to the saints there, to people who were called to be saints of God, to Christians, to people who had washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. But he said in this chapter, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another of Apollo, I am of Apollos, are ye not yet carnal? If you go to the 14th chapter of the same book, in verse 20, it says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. A baby is a complete person, and a new Christian is a complete Christian. You know, the Scripture tells us, I believe it's in that same book in 1 Corinthians, where it says, him that is weak in the faith, receive, but not to doubtful disputations. We embrace and fellowship all those who are new in Christ. People that have not received maybe the same level of understanding as we have on something. You might know something and somebody else might not know it. And that's fine. The Lord, we fellowship. We reach our hands in fellowship to every blood-washed one. But know this, that every person that is born in Christ is expected to start growing and is expected to bring forth, eventually, to bring forth some real fruit. There's different kinds of fruit and different things that the Lord has given to us. Did you know the Bible says that unto every one of us is given gifts? That means there are things that are entrusted to each one of us, and each one of us have a job that the Lord wants us to do. But sometimes we are in a place where we're just walking along the water's edge, so to speak. Or maybe we wait out and we get brave enough till it's at our ankles. Maybe we get brave enough where we go another 1,000, as we read about, and it's to our knees. But we'll never get out to the place where we're far enough out there that the Lord can bring to us, can cause us to bring forth the fruit that He designed us to bring. This Scripture says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. We're all bringing forth fruit. If we are the children of those things like malice, if we let those things grow in our lives, that's the kind of fruit we're going to bring, because there's a maturity. There's a maturity that we come to, whether it's in understanding and in a life of the Lord, or whether it's of something else. And we can say, well, I'm saved, I'm ready to go to heaven. But if we let those things crop up in our life, and we bear fruit that is of that nature, and we bear fruit of malice, we've reached a maturity in that, and not cut those things off by the Lord's power, then we're not going to be able to bring forth the kind of fruit that the Lord wants us to bring forth. It says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Think of a vine, just a great vine. Something like that. There's a vine coming, and then you see these branches that come off from it. And when those branches start, obviously, they start real tiny. And they start growing and they start growing and they keep growing. It's because they're connected to that source constantly. The Lord doesn't beat us up because we just get saved and we're not in the same place that somebody that is that's been saved for 50 years. But as we are connected to that vine, we're expected to grow and to grow and to grow and reach a point where we bring forth the kind of fruit. Every Christian should have some fruit, but I want to talk specifically about a certain kind of fruit this morning. Lord, help us today. I have a burden on my heart here. Let's go to Hebrews 5 and verse 11. In the verses preceding this, it talks about Jesus and Melchizedek, who was a type. And he was talking about these things. It says, of whom, in verse 11, we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Have you thought about these verses in Hebrews and 1 Corinthians and thought, you know, I wish that these people he was writing to were at that place where they were able to handle the strong meat? I wish they would have been, because there's things that Paul, he said, I want to tell you some things, but you're not ready to receive them. There's things that they missed because they weren't in the place, and they should have been. Hebrews, in this chapter, in this passage in Hebrews, it says that the time's come. You've been saved long enough where you should be teachers. You should be bringing forth the fruits that are after the kind that the Lord planted in you. You have a gift and you ought to be exercising it, but you can't do it because you haven't pursued the depths in the Lord. You've just waded along at the shallows. And so when this time is that you ought to be teachers, that you ought to be doing things, you're not even feeling the call to do it. It's because the Lord can't do it. It's because that you've waded in the shallows. And so you've got to have somebody that still teaches you and still feeds you with milk. And this is not the plan that God has for you. Because everybody that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Somebody that is always drinking the milk and can't take anything more than that, they're not going to have the strength, and they're not going to have the understanding. They're not going to be able to digest the things that the Lord has to say. You read the book of 1 Corinthians, and if that's the kind of language that he was speaking to them, there's a lot of good things in the book of 1 Corinthians, is there not? We have the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and we have things in there that seem to be so deep to me. But if he was writing those things in 1 Corinthians to people that could only take milk and that couldn't take meat, I have the question, what's the meat like? What would the meat have been? What could he have told the people in Corinth? What did he want to tell them? What did he longed to tell them things, and it wasn't really Paul, it was the Lord. The Lord longed to be able to tell them things because he had things for them to grow up in. He had work for them to do. He had things that, there were things that were on the horizon that they couldn't see, and he wanted to prepare them for it. But they couldn't handle it. This is the encouragement that I want to leave with us this morning by the help of the Lord. Let's go. Let's find those waters to swim in. Let's not just hang around in the shallows. I wish those folks would have been ready. I'd like to know what it says. If we want to go out into the water, there's a way to do it. It's not always a way that's pleasing. It's not always what we want, but if we tell the Lord that's what we want to do, then He's going to take us there. He's going to help us to get there. James, the first chapter and the second verse. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." This word here doesn't mean tempted to do evil. It's when you fall into trials, when you get subjected to things that test your patience and your devotion and your sincerity. When you get into those things, it says, "Count it all joy, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Let it work, it says. Let it have its perfect work. I want to tell you, as humans, it is so easy for us to avoid pain of any kind at all costs. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to go through adversity. We want to have all our ducks in a row. We want to be set up financially. We want to be set up in everything. We want to make sure that we're prepared for every situation. And you know, the Lord wants us to be smart and wise and to be prepared for things. But the Lord will bring things to a head, so to speak, and cause us, if we're really serious about serving Him, the Lord will bring us into places where you can't get out of it without overriding something in your own conscience. Because the Lord wants to teach us things. The Lord wants to take us. If I want to just leave you with this morning. If you're just going along, if you're just clicking along year after year, and you don't have these trials, and you've got everything set up, and everything just works for you, I would be uneasy at best. I would be uneasy, because the Lord has places for us to get to. He has things to teach us. We need to tell the Lord, "I want to get there. Take me there in whatever way you can. Let it work. Let patience have its perfect work." If it comes, I just want to say this. I was sick for 3 months last year, solid. And I got pretty sick. I got to the point where I wasn't sure what was going to happen. The devil painted some dark pictures. I want to tell you, that was some of the best 3 months of my life. I learned some things I don't know if I would have learned any other way. And I kept asking the Lord, "Lord, what do you want to teach me?" And the Lord taught me some things. And the Lord brought some things to the top in my life that He wanted to skim off. He brought some things that were ugly, that didn't look good. And I'm thankful for that the Lord brought into my life. If that's what it takes to get to heaven, if that's what it takes to do for the Lord what He wants me to do, then that's what the kind of thing I want. I want to go to 1 Samuel 17. Really familiar story here. Philistines were encamped against Israelites. David came down to take some bread and cheese to his brothers. He saw a commotion. Said, "What's going on here?" Giant was out there proposing a contest that... And David saw that and he said, Who's letting that guy do that? And he said, "Is there not a cause? This is important." And anyway, in the 32nd verse, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. I wonder what would have happened if David would have ran when the lion and the bear came. If he would have gone inside, shut the door, wherever he had for a refuge, the Lord had lessons for him to learn. And so by the time he got to where he had to be against a giant that was almost 10 feet high, he had some life experiences under his belt. And he said, you know what? No, I haven't ever fought a giant this size, but I'll tell you what I did fight. I fought a lion and I fought a bear. I know that that's probably not as big a deal as fighting a giant like this, but I tell you what, I couldn't have fought the lion and the bear in my own strength. I had something that helped me, and the same God that helped me with the lion and that helped me with the bear is going to help me with this guy too. You know, a lot of times the Lord wants to send us through school. It says, let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, or mature, where you can bring forth the fruit that the Lord wants you to bring forth, wanting nothing. A lot of times we have things in our life and we call them giants. So, oh, I've got this giant in my life and sometimes we tend to pet it. And we just kind of give it a lot of latitude and we say, you know what, I know I need to work on this, but in reality, a lot of those things are lions and they're bears. The giant ain't come. The giant's not here yet. There's going to be some giants. But a lot of times we get stuck on the lions and the bears. And they come and we pet it, or we run, we ignore it. And all the while, the Lord's wanting to teach us something because He's got something down the road to prepare us for. The Lord had a job for David that day. Think of what would have happened if David would have said, you know what? I hope somebody is big enough to fight this guy. I don't have any experience. I'm just a shepherd. And he went home. Did you know the history of Israel might have been different? The giant was standing there. The Israelite armies were afraid. And it seemed like the Philistines had the upper hand. They had this champion. But David said, you know what? The Lord has taught me some lessons. And I know I'm not anything in myself, but the same God that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, He's going to deliver me out of the hand of the Philistines, of this Philistine. And so that's what he did. I'm so glad that David chose to follow the Lord. You know, sometimes we have things in our life that we just can't stand. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's somebody that's just annoying. Maybe it's, there's any number of things. And we think, oh Lord, if you could just, I heard somebody tell me one time, a long time ago, that I have four people in my life. And if the Lord would just get these people out of my life, I could be spiritual. What about the overcoming? The Lord said, He that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Him that overcometh will I confess before my Father and before the holy angels. Him that overcometh will not be hurt of the second death. So when we get to heaven, what do you think it's going to be like for the Lord to say, this one's mine. Father, I saw this. I had these things in his life. I set this person. I gave him this person for an annoyance and for a lesson. And for, you know, those things are the avenue to the fruit that we're supposed to bear. Those things, and sometimes we do everything we can to skirt around that. Let's learn the lessons and go through the school that the Lord wants us to go through. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2 and 16. It says, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. In the 21st verse it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You know, the Lord has a work for every one of us. It might be any number of things, but we don't all have the same job, but we do have a job. And if we go and we're at the water's edge, so to speak, we might never know what the Lord wanted us to do. We might never know because we're not prepared. We're not available. We don't have to know immediately when we get saved what the Lord wants us to do. But Lord, help us all that we'll be in the place where we're prepared, that we don't have anything that we say, you know what, I know I've got this, and then we sweep it under the rug and we ignore it. When the Lord shows us something, He's got the grace to overcome it. He's got the grace to work on it and to be the victor and to slay that lion or that bear or that giant. And when we are prepared unto every good work, all that means is that we are available in our spirit, in every way. There are many ways that we can knock ourselves out from being prepared unto every good work. All this means here is to be available. We can get so tied down with the cares of life that we're not available to the Lord when He wants to use us. And whenever He wants to call us, He can't, because we've put too many things in our life. Maybe we have a big loan. I know a few years ago, I'm not trying to put this on everyone, but I remember a few years ago, the Lord specifically, I felt like the Lord dealt with me and said, don't get involved. Don't get tied up real heavy in business or real heavy in debt, because I have things I want you to do. And so I didn't do that. And I'm so glad that I didn't do that. Because those things, it's more than just saying, well, this isn't sin. You know, we can do this, we can do that. It's more, we need to ask the question, is it going to make me unavailable to do the work that the Lord wants me to do? We might not even know, we probably won't know what that work is. But if we can be available, Lord, what can I do to be available? And then just be ready to do whatever the Lord wants us to do. I want to ask us, to what extent are we willing to go to slay the lions and the bears and the giants in our life? Those things hinder us from being prepared for the fruit that the Lord wants to bring out of our lives. Those things can stop us and make us where we're always pursuing or always in a shallow experience. To what extent are we willing to go? If we have something that we can't seem to get the victory over, will we fast? Will we change our occupation? These are just things to think about. We have the greatest enemy we have, I believe, is ourselves. But Jesus said, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. If we are constantly petting ourselves and we say, you know what, I just can't, I can't go there because I'll be out of my comfort zone. I can't go there because what do I look like? I can't go there because I want to be set up here. And if I do that, I'm in danger of losing the security I've always needed and wanted. It says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, if we can give those things up and say, Lord, you know, the Lord is not just waiting for us to consecrate ourselves to Him so that He can take us and just run us through the meat grind. I think sometimes we're afraid of what the Lord wants out of us. And we hold back. I knew of a very sad case many years ago of someone that would not ever fully consecrate to the Lord. And he said this. He said, "I'm afraid the Lord will call me to preach if I do." Oh, folks, what a mistake. What a huge mistake to do something like that. The Lord, He might call you to preach. He might call you to be... I don't know what He's going to call you to do. But the Lord has a calling for every person. And with that, though, it's the best life that there is. It is a lot better, a lot more joyful, a lot more happy, a lot more fulfilled life than we will ever have if we hold back because we're scared of being out of our comfort zone or losing our security. I don't want to get to heaven and be like the man that was only given 1 pound. We know the story, the man, the governor or whatever, he went on a trip and he gave a different amount to every person because of their different abilities, their different gifts. He's going to give different things to each one of us. But there was one person that he was so displeased with when he came back. Two of them said, "Lord," one of them said, "Your pound has got 10 pounds. I made 10 pounds out of it." And the Lord said, "Well done." And somebody else came and said, "Hey, your pound gained 5 pounds. Same amount of money that he had to begin with. One of them got twice as much as the other, but they got the same reward. You know, we don't all have the same calling, and sometimes we might feel like, you know what? I'm no good to any for the Lord. I can't do anything. You know, the Lord wants to take what we've got and use it. And it can feed so many people. It can be just like the boy with the loaves and the fishes. He didn't hardly have anything, did he? But the Lord took that. That's the way the Lord works. The Lord wants us to give what we have to Him and make ourselves available and say, "Lord, I don't want anything to keep me from doing whatever You've called me to do." The person that got in trouble was the one that came back and said, "Here's your pound back. I kept it. I didn't lose it." You know, he maintained it. He didn't lose it. He didn't let it be stolen. And he gave it back. But because he didn't do something with it, because it didn't produce fruit, the Lord didn't say, "You know what? You did okay. I wish you would have made something with it." But he said, "You're wicked. You're unprofitable. Because you didn't do anything with what I gave you. You just kept it. And all the while, the whole time you had a testimony that you could say, 'I have this. The Lord gave it to me. I still got it. I haven't done anything with it. I haven't let it get lost. I polish it. It's just as shiny as it was.'" But it needs to increase. Our lives, folks, they need to increase. They need to bring forth fruit. The Lord has something for each one of us to do. The Lord has understanding for each one of us. But if we're not of age, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not talking about some sort of a plateau that we can arrive at where that's the fullness of our... When we get saved, we embark on a journey that lasts the rest of our lives in understanding. So I want us to be clear about that. But the Lord has a maturity to bring us to before we are able to do the work and bring forth the kind of fruit that He wants us to bring forth. I want to go back to John 15 and read two verses that I skipped over with at the beginning. 5 and 6. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and then are burned, and they are burned." You know, that's a very solemn thing to me. That if we are branches and we're right there, we might look like we're connected to the vine, But if we don't keep abiding, you know, that branch is not, if it's abiding in the vine, it's not just going to stay there the same length, the same breadth, with the same size of leaves. It's going to grow. You know, if it's not growing, it's not alive. When it stops growing, you might not even be able to tell it at first, but it starts little by little to wither. And what is the end of that? You know, at the end, the Scripture says, it doesn't say if you disappear and you're not even a branch anymore and you don't have any form. Sometimes we can have that form and we can say, you know what, I'm saved. But I fear that a lot of people that just, that all they say is, well, I'm saved, I'm ready to meet the Lord, and they don't grow. And they don't use the gifts that the Lord gives them because they don't even know what they are. They don't ever get to the place of maturity where they know what they are, that the Lord's going to say, you wicked, unprofitable servant, I wanted you to grow in me. And there was a certain point that you got to, and then you stopped because that's all you wanted. You were afraid of the kind of fruit that I wanted you to bring forth, and you stopped. You wicked, unprofitable servant. The worthlessness of something that's burned. Something that's burned, you can't do any... The reason it's burned is because it's not valuable for anything anymore. You can't make a piece of furniture with it. You can't use it to do anything, to build anything. It's of no good. That's what we do with something. You know, we're all valuable to the Lord. We all have value and worth, tremendous value. The Lord loves each one of us until the end. And then, those of us who do not proceed and go to bring forth fruit and reach maturity to do what the Lord wants us to do, at that point, the Lord says, you're not worth anything anymore. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to you either. You pray for me.